Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. The Good Oil for Cobram Estate. Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil. Grown, harvested and first cold pressed in Northern Victoria.
Great to have you with us this morning. It is indeed. It's nice to talk to our wonderful audience. Tuesday, April the 16th. It is. Ben Mackay is going to join us. Sammy Edmund with all of the news. We're here for the Good Oil for Cobram Estate, premium Australian extra virgin olive oil. Gary Cryan, after years of hearing sporting teams don't work on the Gold Coast and the Suns are at basket pace, now we have to put up with tears over the academy after a couple of wins. Give me a spell. You might be a pickle. That wasn't the point of last night. I wasn't denouncing the academies at all. It was just, I went in for a much deeper in-depth look at it, and they are an absolute formidable force to be reckoned with, the academies up in the northern states particularly. I wasn't aware of them too much. You know what the reason? This is when you, so we, my side wins a premiership, so all the things that you care about in terms of equalisation and whether or not your team's going to be able to get better, sometimes, like, when you win, you don't go deeper into it. You go, okay, I know other teams do. You know, the supporters of these other clubs do. They go, well, how are we going? This is the impetus for the chat last night. How do the Kangaroos
improve?
How do the Hawks improve? And for that person that texts that through, that's not me saying the Gold Coast being handed this unfair advantage. I understand where they're at with that. But there are people within footy circles, and I can understand why, who are sitting there going, hang on a minute, Goulden and Heaney and this and that. But then Sydney turn around and go, well, you hang on a minute. We're growing the code. We're in this environment, which is tough, cost of living, da-da-da. And so don't ever think that it's an equal a competition. Like, no one thinks it's an equal competition. There are advantages everywhere.
There are. I want to play you this because you haven't heard this, but this is Matthew Lloyd on Classified last night talking about Harley Reid and what North Melbourne potentially, well, what they should have done in the latter stages of last season.
But you look on in months' time and you forget who won that game of footy, but you don't forget what this guy could be potentially for the next 15 years.
So in hindsight, do you think they should have thrown that game and rested Larky?
I've been adamant and against that, but I still think to myself, for one win versus catapulting your club up the ladder, I've never thought this way in my whole life until I'm seeing what Harley Reid's going to do for West Coast for the next 15 years.
So what Matty Lloyd is saying there, that they should have tanked, North Melbourne should have tanked late in the season last year so that they could have secured the number one draft pick.
Well, there's nothing new in that. There's the pragmatic view is this. In all that North did, and the narrative around that from Clarko was, hey, the winning culture, we don't win very often here, so winning culture will supersede the fact that we're going to miss out on Harley Reid down the track. Well, you've got to say that. But in the cold hard light of day, what's more important? What would be more important?
Right now?
Well, not now, but for now.
No, right now, as Matty Lloyd explained then, that meaningless win
he says meaningless. North Melbourne, if you go back to that conversation where Clarkson I'm putting winning as a priority for this club because we haven't.
That's right. Done that. And I think you and I spoke about at that time and we applauded that stand. But right now, when you look back at it and they've missed out on somebody who is a generational talent, did they make the right decision?
Yeah. Well, no. I think in the end, tanking is the word which gets sexy, but you go, no, well, I can play this team in such a way where winning isn't at the forefront. This goes back to Melbourne. Now, the difference,
the manipulation of the result is what we're talking about here.
And the fundamental difference would be Melbourne would appear to have manipulated the results over such a long period of time to get their draft picks that it affected the club and its capacity to develop cultures that are surround successful, and they paid for that. One game, would be the argument for the Kangaroos. You go, okay, well, one game, it's not going to be the end of the world. You're going to have a player for 10 to 15 years that's going to be arguably the best player in the comp at some stage. So pragmatically, you look at that and go, of course it makes sense for him not to win.
Okay, so the Roos beat the Suns in the final round of last season. Did they make in your mind, did they make the right decision?
At the time, I would have thought no. At the time, I would have thought no. And I don't resolve in that. I think Yeah, and I understand the counter argument, and I suspect that they have to come up with a counter argument from the Kangaroos.
Yeah,
we don't win. This club hasn't won for a long time. We are not giving up the opportunity to experience winning and taking that into 6 months of preseason.
And it goes to the heart of what you were talking about last night, and how difficult it is if you're a North Melbourne and a Hawthorn to build your list now and elevate yourself in this competition. So when you do get the opportunity staring you in the face like they had last year. And we're not just talking about another midfielder. Anyone that's watched Harley Reid play will understand that he is an exceptional talent and he has a skill set that very few players come to the game with.
Yep.
He was always going to make a difference to whichever team it was that he went to. And, they've passed up on that opportunity now.
And I love the fact that we don't talk about tanking now. Like, this is, you know, at the time it was talked about, but it wasn't, not like back in the day when Melbourne and Carlton and Collingwood, I don't care what you're saying, they all did it. Don't worry about that.
Of course they did.
But you go and look overseas now, Tim, overseas clubs start tanking halfway through the year.
Yep. Yep.
Halfway through the year, unashamedly.
Yeah. Well, the Spurs with Wembanyama, like, they started thinking about that when they saw this kid on the horizon about being able to secure possibly the first draft pick.
So... And so then you go to the conversation which we had last night. And again, this is not a whack at Hawthorn. This is not a whack at the Kangaroos. You can historically go back and talk about their drafting and all that. You knock yourself out. But right now, today, 0-5 in this environment for both the Kangaroos and the Hawks. In 19, they picked Day. They got great. These are the first rounders. Granger, Brass in 20. 2021, Josh Ward. 22, McKenzie and Weddle. 23, Nick Watson. I go through the Gold Coast Suns in that same time. Powell, Anderson and Flanders. Elijah Hollands they traded. Mac Andrews, Bailey Humphrey. The next generation academy kids, Walter, Reed, Rogers and Graham. They had 11 first rounders on the weekend and five next generation academies. That's how they're climbing. They've been horrible. They are coming. Now, you go the other – well, how do Hawthorn get better? How are the of course they'll go to the draft and they'll take one, right? Maybe maybe they can.
Yeah.
They've got no one to trade out to get a free agent.
What you're saying though is the system was set up theoretically that if you went to the bottom, you got access to the best young talent in the country. Therefore, you're able to build. So you've got to take your medicine, but with taking your medicine about being down the bottom, you also get the opportunity to take the best talent.
Yep.
That is being compromised now.
Of course it is.
And that's making it even more difficult. And when you think about the advent of the Tasmanian team coming into the competition, it's going to be compromised even more. So there's never been, in the next couple of years, there's never been a worse time to finish down the bottom.
And
of
my team was down the bottom and took advantage of all of the things at their disposal. They got bonus for being poor in administration. They got extra picks. This is Melbourne I'm talking about. God, I'd hate them to be down there now. They happen to be hopeless at a time when, Gold Coast and the GWS Giants came in. So it's come through. But Tasmania are coming. And we know what's going to happen with Tasmania.
But then there's still talent out there. If you look at, say, one player who played for Essendon the weekend, got the 10 votes, Sam Durham, he was a rookie player. So he was out there. Now, you're not going to have access to every rookie player, but Ben Keyes, we spoke about him before. He was delisted by Brisbane, has finished in the best and fairest in the top five for the Adelaide Crows three of the past four seasons, and has just been rewarded with an extra contract. So there are talented players out there if you can pick the eyes out of it, but it's harder to build your team around that.
And there's 15 teams that are all trying to access.
Oh, they're all trying to do exactly the same thing.
So anyway, I hope the Hawks can get their act together and the Kangas can get their act together quickly. And Kangaroos, Johnny, you'll be listening to this going, well, we need the defender. We need a defender. That's what, when you talk to him all the time, I'm sure he just called. And, how? How are they going to get a defender for Melbourne? Were able to. They went and got May and Lever.
Okay,
how are they going to do that?
I'm glad you raised that because they didn't fight particularly hard to keep Ben McKay. I know we're going to talk to Ben McKay a little bit later, but they actually had a defender, and he's a very good defender too. So they allowed him to walk out of the place because they thought that getting an early draft pick and maybe bringing in a really talented midfielder was going to be more advantageous for them.
Yeah, well,
I pose the question to you. What's more difficult to find, a talented midfielder or a key position back?
Yeah, how old's Ben?
He's 25.
Yeah. Well, when they get McKercher and who's the other boy? Oh, Dersma. So not that the Kangas have got some talent coming through, but when you specifically look at that side of it, you're right.
You can't just build your whole midfield and not have key position players forward or back, though, can you?
No.
They're the decisions that you make at a football club about prioritising where you think you need to or what you need to add to your team.
And I've just done this deep dive. There's four All-Australians in the under-16 teams who are Gold Coast Suns Academy. This is last year's under-16 All-Australian team. The amount of staff they've got and the way they are building this academy and speaking to Big John, whose daughter is one of them, whose daughter is in the Gold Coast Academy, they've got an AFL coach who heads up the academy. They've got a former AFL coach who heads the academy up. Yeah. So it's a powerhouse that's coming. And you reckon Damien Hardwick, I've only just sort of, got my head around it. Damien Hardwick would be cognizant of all of this like no one else.
Of course. I mean, one of the first things he uttered when he got there was, we've got 80% of our premiership team here already. Now, he wasn't talking about those that we'd already seen in the exposed form. He was talking about the stuff that was coming through,
too. He's got 80% there, and he's got another 70% waiting in the wings. Jeff's in the central part of Victoria. Hello, Jeff.
Morning, gents. How are you going?
Pretty good, thanks.
Very quickly, just going to talk about you're talking about the academies up north. I know there's been a bit of a mass migration of Victorians up Queensland way since COVID and such, so I think there's been a bit more of a push for football up that way. Just in our own backyard here in Victoria, I feel that there's a real, I suppose, I shouldn't use the word nepotism, but I will, for probably ex-AFL players' sons and or people that go into the private school system to get a fair favouritism along the way to their route to the AFL. And I feel that a few of the battlers and the kids that are probably very good probably left by the wayside a bit more down here. And I feel it's really affecting, I suppose, the standard of footballer out of Victoria, but also showing how good it is up in Queensland if they're taking every kid they can to build and make the whole scenario better up that way. Thoughts on that, gentlemen?
Well, they are. I'm not sure. Are you saying that because of the amount of people that are moving north, that they're going to have access to more kids up there, more Victorian kids who aren't getting the same opportunity down here? Is that what Jeff was getting at?
I think so. What is the reasoning behind the building of talent and the development of talent up in Queensland purely around the numbers that are now getting involved in the game at a junior level? Is that where all this talent is coming from?
Well,
is there superior coaching or identification, or is there just a whole swathe of young players or young kids who are now being introduced to the game that weren't introduced to the game previously?
I'm trying to find all my notes I did on this. There's 900 and something kids in the Gold Coast Academy. 900. They've got 8 full-time staff. This is an article I read from one of the journalists. I should have his name. I haven't. 4 part-timers up in North Queensland. They've got 10 medical and strength and conditioning staff, and they've got 50 volunteers, and they've got Ree Shaw, an AFL coach. And then I said to Brownie, he goes, these volunteers aren't just parents filling up the cordial. You got James Frawley's up there doing some volunteer stuff, helping them out. He just says it's a juggernaut up there.
So is it being funded by the AFL?
I'd imagine. I don't know, actually. I don't know how they're caught. Well, they are an AFL-funded team, the Gold Coast Suns. So
yes.
Let's make no bones about that.
Yeah, but this is way beyond just funding the team.
Yeah. Well, that's right. But then
The development has to be good for the game, does it not?
Well, they would say that we just signed a multi-billion dollar national broadcasting deal that's predicated on teams in Queensland and New South Wales being strong.
Mm. Steve's in Hurstbridge. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Good.
That's the way. I think it's a roof. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear, mate.
Okay, cool. A big backman is more important than a big midfielder. I'd be taking a big back. When you look at Richmond yesterday, Sunday, got smashed by somebody who won't kick too many goals in his life. Waterman.
Sorry, Steve, you're sort of cutting in and out. Maybe try and ring back on another line, or we'll try and
I think he's saying the same thing as you. He said,
I know this comes through that, you know, Comden played down back and Nguyen played down back for them. Yeah, but are they going to develop better when they've got a bigger bodied, more seasoned player around than what they currently have?
And the dogs are a bit of that as well. So
And Melbourne, when they went out after their rebuilding, what'd they do? They went after May and they went after Lever. They actually built from the back forward. Like,
well, that's
a lot
what
of
I kept
clubs have done that.
Saying to Johnny, you keep taking the best kids. And then you can handpick where you need the most. But it's going to be hard to handpick those players now in this current environment and to get them to come to your footy club.
And it's much harder to find key position defenders than it is midfielders. Like, midfielders do grow, like, there's grades of midfielders, but they tend to grow on trees, the midfielders.
Anyway, I may be naive about this. This has been in place for a long time. I know there are clubs that have been railing against the Sydney Academies for a long time, but they are placed. They are well placed to take advantage of the talent pool, and they're putting the work in, and they'll reap the rewards.
Is New South Wales and Sydney, are they up to the same degree or level that you're hearing that Queensland are?
Goulden, Heaney.
Mills.
But
are there others coming through? Are you still hearing that there's this
Warner.
Whole
what about those
group
three?
Of young players coming through?
Goulden, Mills and Heaney, what about those three? Just coming through your academy. So,
Campbell came through their academy too.
I would imagine they're coming through, Braden Campbell. I would imagine that the talent's still coming through. Time's getting away. We'll take a break. We'll come back to this. It's 20 minutes past 7.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Thanks for your messages. Chad Warner, he came from Western Australia. Exactly right. Blakey ended up coming through the academy because his old man was up there as well. So yep. Goulden, Heaney, Blakey, Campbell. You know what we're talking about.
The Gold Coast Suns will be hating this conversation this morning.
Well, they
should be saying that, hang on a minute, we've never been in the finals.
No, we're not a man.
We're finally getting ourselves on track. Yep. We've got all these young players coming through. Now you're whacking us because we're developing talent.
We're not whacking them. We're not whacking them. We're just acknowledging.
Well, I'm not.
Well, I'm not either. Acknowledging what they're doing. 11 hubs. This is, again, I'm new to this. I'm just educating myself. They've got 11 hubs up there, different hubs. One team.
Yep.
11 hubs to filter this talent.
But isn't that what we want them
great.
To be doing?
It's great.
They're Isaac, growing the game.
And from a Sydney Swans point of view, Isaac Heaney may not have played AFL footy at all had it not been for a Swans Academy up there. So that's attracting the talent.
So what
that
are
we want.
Just remind me what we are saying. We're just saying that there's a big,
massive pool of talent up there that is just awakening.
Right.
Gold Coast Suns. Okay. It is awakening right now. I remember John O'Brien talking about this last year,
I know.
Oh, yeah, I didn't pay much attention. I thought, oh, yeah, Gold Coast Suns. They got their house in order.
Mm.
And don't worry about the Brisbane Lions. They got Marcus Ashcroft. Marcus is the dad. Will Ashcroft is the one who's gone. And now his brother Levi may very well be a number one pick coming to them as well.
Right. So just to explain to everybody the difference between the Suns Academy and has the Brisbane Lions not got an academy like this?
No, I think they have. I think they have.
But they're not producing the same amount of or level of talent?
They may, that I don't know about. I haven't dug into the Brisbane
Wouldn't Jono
Lions.
Know about it, though?
I didn't ask him. I was talking about the Gold Coast because his daughter's at the Gold Coast.
Okay, Richard's on the road. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, gents. How are you?
Good. Good, Richard.
This is a question, I guess, more for Tim, only because you've actually been in a head coach role, so no disrespect to you, Gary.
No, not at all. No, I'm listening.
Is the I'm interested in the what you believe is the right balance between senior coach and recruiter in that recruiting drafting process, because you know how many times do we sit there and we look at a team that you know says, oh, we're trying to get the best talent, you know, but you know is the best talent available, you know, this. Somebody that's, you know, got silky smooth skills, you know, the best fit for purpose to plug the holes versus you look at the mindset of some players that are drafted and they're all, you know, really nice young men and those sorts of things. And then the next thing that the club wants to do is instill some nastiness into them in relation to, you know, we need you to be more aggressive at the ball or, you know, have some nastiness in your play because, you know, nice guys don't win trophies. So I'm just interested in what you think is that right balance.
Well, you've got to have a bit of everything. That's one of the complexities of being able to build a list, but you need structure. So you need to have, obviously, you need to have players that are capable of playing down the spine. Then you need to have a band of midfielders and flexibility and run and athleticism and grunt and competitive style. Like, there are so many different components. That's why it is such a difficult thing to do. But you look at the clubs who have been able to establish a system, and you look at, say, Geelong's system of recruiting and replacing talent, and you know, you watch the kids play again at the weekend, and you know, they've only played a handful of games, but they seem to have established a system whereby we'll bring you in, we'll develop you at VFL level, we've got our tall players coming through, we've got our midfield players coming through, we've got all these different role type players coming through, and you keep stocking up with that talent, and that's what you need. And further to that, you had the same coach there for a period of time. So philosophically, everybody's aligned too.
And
that's one of the difficult things, to have that alignment, because as we know, you know, coaches come and go. And when a new coach comes in, they may have a slightly different philosophy. And then they've got to align that with the recruiting and everything else that's going on in the club. And you know, then you can have a disconnect.
And this discussion about academies, again, I'm just learning, right? It's not a criticism. I, like everyone, know this is not an even playing field. Like, there's no equality in all of this.
None.
Because the academy, the Queenslands and the Sydneys will argue their case. They'll turn around and go, yeah, you talk about Geelong. How's their father and son going? How are we going to get a father and son on the Gold Coast? How have they benefited from father? Mm. Premiership last year for Collingwood. How's Darcy Moore going? How's Dacos going? Mm. How's Dacos going? So there are swings and roundabouts in all of this. And right now their competitive advantage may be the academy up there, so they're going hell for leather on it.
Yeah, yeah.
The Collingwood do a great father and son program. They get every kid that's ever been born to a player in at some stage.
You're not knocking it. You're just shining a light on it. That's all you're doing. And then just saying, okay, you've got Hawthorn down at the moment. You've got North Melbourne down at the moment. You've got Tasmania coming into
the
competition.
The
this is going to be a hard way to go for these teams to rebuild themselves.
And we may have missed the other chap who's, we may have misread him, but Andrew says what that bloke was saying, the private schools is part of the truth. They raid the system, get their best players, give them scholarships, and what he's saying, that it means that the rest aren't getting the same treatment, which is creating a gap. He claims the gap is not the case up north because they're all being caught in the catchment and they're all going through the 11 hubs and they're all getting a look at it. Mm. There would be kids in the country, Tim, that can't get to the Coates League for whatever reason. They can't get to training, or they can't do this or whatever, and they can't get the scholarship to, you know, Halebury or Geelong Ground or Xavier, wherever it is. Are they getting caught? Are we catching them? Are they getting the coaching and the development at 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age that turns them into the Sam Durhams of the world?
And are they? Have they begun this same or similar program down in Tasmania in preparation for the Tasmanian team too? Are they building an academy down there and trying to say to every young kid that's growing up there in Tasmania right now, here's an opportunity
for you?
They
better
be. Well, they should be. That's exactly what they should be.
I'm sure they've got all
that. But that should have begun. That should have started already.
Yeah, it should have. Dave's in the Gold Coast. Go, Dave.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Good.
Right, Gaz, the Suns Academy's a juggernaut, or it will be. They've got, you know, nearly 1,000 kids. They've got development staff everywhere with AFL Queensland. They're starting them early, as you said, 13, 14. They're inviting them to all sorts of clinics. They're in the schools. They're most of the regional and district teams through the schools are getting access to this club. You know, maybe not in the next 2 or 3 years, but the next 5 to 6, 7 years, they're going to huge, and they're going to have kids coming through everywhere.
Yeah,
but the thing is, if they've got 1,000 kids, say
10%,
20 of them. Well, okay, say 10,
5%, 50.
They're not all going to be. They're not all going to be taken by the Gold Coast Suns either.
No.
Like, they're actually developing. They are developing talent for the rest of the competition at the same time,
and they're also developing the code up in Queensland.
Massively.
They don't play there. They filter down into the local competitions, which get stronger, and as a result, you know, the pool gets a bit bigger. Take a break. Time's getting away from us. A lot of people want to talk about this and some other stuff, so we'll come back to it.